This episode is sponsored by Celestron, manufacturer of high-quality telescopes and an industry leader in developing exciting optical products with revolutionary technologies.
I'm Kelly Beattie of Sky and Telescope magazine, and tonight we're going on a tour of the stars and planets that you'll see overhead during October. This month, we first take stock of the moon's phases, then check in with Jupiter and Saturn, track down the evening's bright stars, and look for bits of Halley's Comet flashing across the sky. So grab your curiosity and come along on this month's Sky Tour. First, let's check out the moon's whereabouts. The time it takes the moon to go through a complete cycle of phases, from new moon to full and back to new, is called a lunation. One lunation takes 29.5 days, which explains why the words moon and month are etymologically so similar. And it also explains why, once in a while, we get two new moons in the same month, as happened back in August, or two full moons. There's no such drama this month. October begins with the moon already climbing into the evening sky after sunset, with first quarter falling on the 5th and full moon on the 13th. Last quarter follows on the 21st and new moon on the 27th. So, roughly speaking, the moon will be seen in the evening sky for the first half of the month and in the sky before dawn during the second half. And, as I'll note later, we can use that passage across the evening sky to our advantage. All summer we've been spoiled by having both Jupiter and Saturn in view after sunset. Every clear night, as twilight deepened, the solar system's two biggest planets paraded into view. That pairing continues throughout October, though now both planets have slid much farther toward the western horizon. The planets themselves didn't do that. In fact, Jupiter and Saturn orbit very slowly due to their great distance from the Sun and generally move eastward, toward the left, among the stars. No, that westward slide results because Earth has traveled a third of the way around its orbit since June, causing a big shift in its geometry with respect to the Sun and those planets. Jupiter remains the leading light after evening twilight fades, glowing brightly in the southwest. It sets about 3.5 hours after sunset as October begins, and 2.5 hours as it ends. That might seem like a generous viewing window, but Jupiter will get more and more challenging to spot as it edges ever lower in the southwest. So make sure you find a viewing spot with a clear view in that direction. Keep an eye out for much dimmer Antares, several degrees to Jupiter's lower right. That reddish supergiant star is about all that's left to see of the constellation Scorpius until it crawls out of the pre-dawn twilight early next year. Saturn is dimmer and situated to Jupiter's left by about 2.5 times the width of your clenched fist held at arm's length. If you're hearing this Sky Tour podcast early in the month, you're in luck. Watch for a stunning pairing of Jupiter and a crescent moon on October 3rd, and an even closer pairing of Saturn with the first quarter moon on the 5th. Next summer, Jupiter and Saturn will again be in our evening skies and much closer together. So that'll be a real treat. Now make an about-face so that you're facing north, more or less. Not far above the horizon is our old friend, the Big Dipper. Its bowl is on the right, and its handle is sticking out toward the left. Follow the arc of the handle toward the left even farther to reach the bright star Arcturus. As the evening's starry sky pinwheels through the changing seasons, the Big Dipper does a slow counterclockwise dance around Polaris, the North Star. And where is Polaris, you might ask? Some people think it's the brightest star in the sky, but that's not the case. Still, it's easy to spot if you know where to look. So first, find the two stars on the right side of the Big Dipper's bowl. Now, draw an imaginary line through them and follow that line upward and to the right until you spot a medium bright star pretty much all by itself. There you go, that's Polaris. Now, 3 fists to the right of Polaris, and a bit higher up, you'll see a group of 5 stars crudely shaped like a 3, or maybe you'll see them as a broad W tipped up on its left corner. The whole pattern is a little bigger than your clenched fist. This is the constellation Cassiopeia, who is a queen in Greek mythology. You'll see that Cassiopeia and the Big Dipper are situated on opposite sides of the North Star. So when one is high up, the other is low down. The Dipper dominates in spring and summer, while Cassiopeia rules in fall and winter. Down below Cassiopeia, near the northeastern horizon, is a very obvious star. That's Capella, the sixth brightest star in the nighttime sky. Capella looks like a single star, but in fact it's a quadruple system involving two pairs of suns. One pair consists of stars somewhat like our sun, except that they've gotten big and fat in their old age. They orbit very tightly, circling one another in just 104 days. The other pair is quite faint. All four lie rather close by, only 43 light-years away. So the light you see left the Capella system in the mid-1970s. Now swing your gaze up, way up, to overhead. You should see the three widely spaced stars of the summer triangle, which measures about 2 or 3 fists on a side. The corner of the triangle farthest west, nearest the direction of sunset, is marked by Vega. It's the main star in a tidy constellation called Lyra, the lyre or harp. Farther east and closer to Polaris is the star Deneb. It marks the tail of a giant swan, Cygnus, apparently flying south for the winter along the Milky Way. You should be able to make out the swan's wingtips and long neck. Or try picturing Deneb at the top of a large cross about 2 fists long. The triangle's third star is Altair, the head of a celestial eagle called Aquila, that's winging toward the swan. You might recall that August's Perseid meteor shower was something of a washout, thanks to the bright light of a nearly full moon that spoiled the show. Well, October offers another chance to see a meteor shower, two of them actually, though both are rather sparse. First come the torrids, bits of dust that have been shed by a comet called Encke. This is a long-lasting meteor shower with one peak on the night of October 10th and a second around October 20th. You'll be lucky to see 5 torrid meteors per hour, though very bright fireballs can occur during the earlier peak. The second meteor display, called the Orionids, is another long-running shower that culminates on the night of October 22nd. We call them the Orionids because they seem to fan across the sky from a point not far from the star Betelgeuse in Orion. These meteors are created as Earth crosses the orbit of Halley's Comet, allowing little bits of dust shed by this famous visitor to slam into our atmosphere. Orion doesn't rise over the eastern horizon until late evening, so you'll need to stay up a little late to see these meteors. Try looking during the 2-hour window between 10:30 p.m. and 12:30 a.m., after which a fat crescent moon rises. At the end of the month, of course, is Halloween. Go ahead and trot out the pumpkins and fuzzy spiders, then try doing what I do. When trick-or-treaters invade our neighborhood, I set up my telescope on our driveway so that all those little goblins and their parents can take a quick peek through the eyepiece. It's always a big hit, and you really should try it. If you start early enough, you can glimpse Jupiter and a thin crescent moon low in the southwest. Then swing your scope left to view Saturn and its famous rings. Finally, look overhead and point out the summer triangle. That's about it for this month. If you want more tips for viewing the night sky, check out our website, skyandtelescope.com, which offers great star and planet gazing activities. If you haven't already subscribed, you can find Sky Tour on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever you listen. And please leave a rating or a review. It will help others to find the show. And if you want to explore the solar system and our universe more deeply, please do check out the full line of binoculars and telescopes available at Celestron.com. Sky Tour is a production of Sky and Telescope, a division of the American Astronomical Society, and is produced by me, Kelly Beatty. Next month, we'll spend a little more time with some lesser-known constellations of the autumn sky. Until then, I wish you clear skies.